Before we get there, Serena Locke is here to help me run through this week's biggest rural news. Good morning, Serena.
Hi there, Clint.
It's here, but only partially. Australia and India have struck an interim free trade deal after nearly a decade of talks.
Yes, it's been a long time coming, and more Australian agricultural produce is set to flow to India, with the federal government finally signing this agreement, this major free trade deal after nearly 10 years of negotiating. Now, lentils, sheep meat, wool and lobsters, alongside coal and rare earth minerals, will all have their trade tariffs cut. Well, there will be a slow reduction of tariffs on wine, avocados, berries, cherries, nuts, pears, and some citrus. But dairy and chickpeas and other grains missed out. And India's consumption of Australian wool is still far behind China's, but Josh Lamb from Endeavour Wool Export says it is great news.
Well, it's good news for the industry. Currently, Australian wool imports into India attract around about a 5% tariff on imports. What this free trade agreement does is abolish that 5%. It won't take effect until later in the year, but India's Australia's second largest destination for Australian wool, so it's a very positive move for wool growers.
Let's stick with trade news. Despite continuing tensions, China is now the second biggest market for Australian beef, even though several Australian abattoirs are still banned from exporting there.
Yeah, exports to China now make up 19% of the beef trade, just above South Korea at 18.6%. While China was the top destination for Australian beef, Japan holds the mantle now, and with over a quarter of our beef going there this season. Matt Dalgleish from Thomas Elder Market says that beef is like Australian wheat. China wants it and they're willing to pay for it.
When you take into account we've got very high global prices, compared to global competitors, our beef prices are high. We've got obviously low supply and the restocking is driving domestic price. So that's one factor. We've had all these trade issues with China, Michael, and quite a few of those beef export abattoirs are still yet to get access. So when you take all those things into account, the fact that China has managed to creep ahead of South Korea for the flow so far in 2022 is quite good, really.
Probably because you can buy plonk all over the world. Parts of the Australian wine industry haven't had the same experience as Aussie beef in selling into China.
Thousands of tons of wine grapes are being dumped or dropped on the ground or left on the vine this year due to a glut of red wine. Now, the Chinese market was worth $1.2 billion, and now that's shut due to the trade dispute, we have an oversupply of red wine. But the coronavirus pandemic has also made it difficult to ship wine overseas. Sunraysia winemaker Russell Lynch estimates up to 15,000 tons of grapes will be left on the vine or harvested onto the ground in one of Australia's largest growing regions.
December, when you do negotiations for fruit and contracts, it was apparent that there was going to be an oversupply of red grapes. Unfortunately, I didn't have a contract for this property here, so we're now putting it on the ground because the wineries are full and don't want any more red grapes. I've had bumper crops this year in Chardonnay, so that'll take some of the pressure off dropping 130 tonne of Shiraz on the ground. But, it's just one of those years where no one wants red grapes. We can't get it out of Australia.
We all remember the tragic Awassi Express incident in 2017, which saw thousands of sheep die on board the livestock export vessel, and subsequently the prosecution of the companies involved. But another change from that incident was a ban on exporting sheep in the Northern Hemisphere summer, but it looks like that might have changed slightly this week.
Yeah, so this is all about heat stress of sheep in big ships. Now, the Federal Department of Agriculture has signed off on amendments to the rules governing the live sheep exports to the Middle East. Now, based on advice from the Bureau of Meteorology, sheep must now not be exported by sea to Persian Gulf nations, including Qatar, but not Oman and Kuwait, for a week in late May, unless extra conditions are there to reduce heat stress. The department now believes it is safe to export sheep through the Red Sea during the first half of June. That's a period where export was previously banned. Now, that's led to a testy exchange between the Green Senator Maureen Faruqi and the Department of Agriculture Secretary Paul Metcalfe.
Any assertion that I have signed a death warrant for millions of animals is frankly outrageous, and I completely reject it.
Well, millions of animals are going to go into the heat of the summer, which they weren't going for the last couple of years. So that's pretty
That's just not right, Senator. The Northern Hemisphere Summer Order does prevent any departures for the majority of the summer. We have made some minor changes at the beginning based upon much better data that we've now received from the Bureau of Meteorology.
Serena, we've spoken over the last few months about the soaring costs of fertiliser, but it looks like some farmers have found a homegrown solution.
Yes, as the price of synthetic fertilisers continues to soar, urea's hit a whopping $1,500 per tonne. It makes it very expensive. Farmers of both cereals and horticulture are now looking at other options, and their answer is compost. Organic Nutrients is a composting company operating in conjunction with a chook farm at Pittsworth near Toowoomba in Queensland. They've been running for 10 years, but they've never seen demand so high as it is right now, according to Justin Clark.
Yeah, we've picked up some big growers in the Gundawindi area, so a lot of big broadacre stuff. So some very big properties and some very big orders going down there. But we're also picking up other growers in the Lockyer Valley, so it'd be hard to put a definite number on it. But yeah, we're certainly seeing some new faces coming along.
Serena, thank you so much for that wrap of Rural News this week.
Nice to talk again, Clint.